Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hello. Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio, where you have me, Ropp. I'm back, and Big Suki's right over there.
Yeah, never went anywhere.
Hey, will you shut up?
Shut up.
So the Blazers are wrapping up their restart game against Memphis here.
This should be a win here. They're up by five with 18 seconds left. They've kind of dominated the overtime here. If they find a way to dribble this one down their leg, then it will be stunning. They're trying. They should be fine here.
Yeah, they are definitely trying. Memphis picked them up full court, and it's given the Blazers a few problems.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you posted on that. Let me get back to the Lair Bear, Larry Scott, because the Pac-12 announced their 10-game schedule today. And we read them off earlier. But the Ducks and the Beavers, the Ducks are adding that Utah game. They will play at Utah.
That's the last game of the year. And then the game formerly known as the Civil War will take place on October 17th.
And those pesky Beavs have a tough sked.
Yeah, they're out of the gate. Their first five, the only one in there that from a Vegas standpoint that they're going to be, I don't know about favorites, but they're going to be big underdogs in their first five minus UCLA.
Go Beavers. How about that?
So, Larry Scott knows that the league will lose TV money.
Yeah.
I think we all know that. Here is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, on average about 78 football games a year that we control the rights to because they're at home or neutral site games we control the rights to. 44 of those go to ESPN and Fox. The balance go to the Pac-12 network. So when our board made the decision on July 10th, that we were going to a conference-only 10-game schedule, everyone understood that was going to reduce the number of games in our TV contract, and that was a decision not made lightly, made with the interest of health and safety first and foremost, but with significant financial implications. Financial implications because we're going to have less games than we normally have and could result in penalties. And certainly for our campuses that are already looking at reduced capacity and likelihood in terms of attendance now with reduced inventory. And we've obviously lost some marquee non-conference games. So the financial ramifications are significant, but they're secondary to health and safety and trying to provide opportunity for student athletes, both in football and Olympic sports, in what we feel is the safest, most prudent way possible. The details will still have to be worked out, but we've been in very, very close consultation, James, with ESPN and Fox and Pac-12 Networks partners through the process, and it's fluid, and we've got great partnerships, and we'll work our way through it.
That's the only part of, I thought he did a fine job at the webinar, I believe they called it. But
also James getting some love,
yeah,
along with Jesse.
James and Jesse.
Jesse and James.
Both great questions.
Larry Scott, very good at remembering the interviewer's name and saying it multiple times in every answer.
Well, it humanizes everything.
That means he respects them.
But that last part is a pile of a horse bleep.
What did he say?
Where he said that.
I was preparing for the Blazers post-game show here.
Health and safety being the most important thing. Oh, to hell it is.
For their student athletes.
Yeah, this is about one thing and one thing only. You are trying to make money, and you know that you already are bleeding cash, and now you're just trying to hold on to what you have. they know that this is going to be a bleak outlook for a lot of athletic departments, and there's going to be cuts, and there's going to be sports that have to go by the wayside, and there's major financial implications, even if things go off the way they're planned right now. But they know what they're up against. But it always it bothers me when we get the, you know, the health and safety is the priority. No, it's not. Because you said at the beginning that if you can't have students on campus, you weren't going to play. And then that went out the window. And it went out the window when you brought football players back, but not necessarily the other sports back. And it went out the window the fact that you're trying to shoehorn this thing any way you can, as opposed to waiting and just saying, hey, let's see if we can do this later, because you're trying to make it in. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I understand that everyone's got bills to pay, and the financial collapse that could come from not playing football is beyond devastating to athletic programs, big and small. But don't sit there and tell me that everything is secondary to health and safety. Stop. That's ludicrous.
The Ducks will play two Friday games, both games against the Arizona schools, the one at home against Arizona State on Friday, October 9th, and then Friday, November 20th at Arizona. Here's Larry Scott on why more Friday games.
Friday night games and the occasional Thursday night game have been a feature of Pac-12 football schedule for some time, and folks have been comfortable, whether it's coaches' perspective, the medical advice we've gotten does not put student athletes or others in a compromised position. People have been comfortable with it, not just in our league, but other leagues as well. We have made changes, Josh, over the years. You may have followed that we don't ask teams to turn around for Friday night games if they've been on the road the week before. So we have made some adjustments over the years, but it has not been felt thus far that there is a significant health and safety consideration between Friday night and Saturday games, with that caveat that I mentioned.
Yeah, and how about Josh getting some love there? So now we have Jesse Josh, and James.
Where's Jace when I need him?
Where's Jace? Where's Jim?
Where's Quick?
Where's Jerry?
Jimmy. What he's talking about there is when, like, from a health standpoint, it's not an injury thing. It's just that, remember, when you play a game on the road, especially if you play a night game, a lot of times you're not getting back to campus till 2-3 in the morning. And then to turn around and have to play Friday, where you're leaving Thursday to go down and play. We've seen this where in years past, you've had entire seasons, as far as, you know, making a college football playoff, get ruined by the Saturday road game having to turn around and play Friday. And so they have eliminated that. But from a health standpoint, as far as like injuries and whatever, no, it's just a matter of competitive balance. Yeah. It's asking a lot for teams to do.
If you were wondering, the Beavers do not play any Friday games. Okay.
So the only team in the conference to not get a weeknight game.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
A lot of weeks, because it starts out with just one, but by the time you get middle of the season, there's two Friday night games. Pretty much, I think starting week 4 or 5, there's two Friday night games, if I remember correctly, every week.
All right, we'll get back to hot schedule talk, but
Blazers.
Your Portland Trailblazers won.
Well, I'll say that was a doozy.
They did it.
That was a big game.
It was a great game. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies 140 to 135 in overtime.
Yeah.
A very exciting game, a very intense game. Dare I say a pretty well played game, although there were a lot of free throws.
Yeah. Well, and for a while there, Memphis.
There were like 3 or 4 technical fouls, too.
Yeah.
Memphis got to the free throw line 50 times.
Yeah. I would say for a while there, the only thing keeping Memphis even in the ball game is they were living at the free throw line. Although you can make the argument that it was, you know, Portland wanted to slow that down a little bit because Memphis likes to get out and run. So
McCollum had 33. Lillard had 29. Carmelo Anthony was 7 of 10. He had 21. And the bench, you know, they got some good minutes, not from Hassan Whiteside, but from Gary Trent and Mario Hezonja.
Hezonja, especially early on. Trent had a huge three to start. Well, not to start. I guess CJ's was first. But he had a huge three right at the beginning of OT that helped push that lead to 8. Had a nice strip there at midcourt as well. So, yeah, I mean, everyone knew going in that the bench was going to be an issue. And if the bench can give you that sort of production, and then, you know, Melo, 7 of 10, including a couple huge threes down the stretch in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's I mean, I don't know if you can consistently count on that. I think that may be a bit much.
Well, they left him wide open.
But and Lillard, by the way, who started off the game not playing very well, picked it up. But how many open looks was it? That they had a lot of open looks, especially Melo, that were created by Lillard being able to get to the middle of the defense and then swinging it back out.
Yeah, so they're now 30-37, your Zers, and they are within 2.5 of Memphis for the 8th spot. So remember, they have to stay within 4.
And there's 7 left to play, and this was a huge game.
So, yeah, because otherwise they would have fallen out.
Yeah.
They would have been, what, 4.5 back?
4.5 back. And New Orleans loss, which you would assume at this point is really the other team that you're competing against. I mean, no offense to...
Well, Sacramento's in there.
Yeah, again, I feel like you're competing against New Orleans for that 8 spot.
But Sacramento plays the Spurs tonight, and the Spurs seem to have, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, there's no LaMarcus.
Feels like they mailed it in.
There's, you know, whatever.
But Sacramento's only 3 back. So the Pelicans right now are 3.5. The Spurs are still 3.5. So all those teams, Spurs, Pelicans, Kings, and Blazers are all within that 4-game range now. Look, that Memphis just lost.
You figure Portland, if you're going to feel comfortable, 6-2 at the worst, 5-3, right? 5-3 gives you a puncher's chance. 6-2 probably gets you into the playoff. There's not a lot of room for air here. I mean, with only 8 games to go, and this one, you know, for a while there, when they blew that third quarter lead, you're like, oh God, you know, they're down by 11 going into the fourth. You know, it did not look very well. So this was a monster win for the Blazers.
What do you think Jesse, Josh, and James think of the win?
Well, I'm going to leave it to them and their expert questions. I mean, I'm not here as, like, I know I'm a Jay, but I'm not one of them. I'm just here to sit back and admire their questions.
You know, now after watching this,
yeah,
it's weird to see the highlights of real games with real fans.
Yeah,
right? Now you look at that
you
and go, oh, that's so cluttered.
This is the norm.
So Blazers win. All right, 1-0 on the restart. And now next they are going to play somebody else. Ooh.
On Sunday. Boston on Sunday.
Boston's getting hammered. They were down 15-2. It's balanced out now, but it started out.
Now they're up 20-15.
Now they're only down by 4. But Boston fell down 15-2 to open that one against the Milwaukee.
So the Blazers play Boston, Houston, Denver, Clippers, Sixers, Mavericks. Good God.
Toughest schedule in the...
Of the teams trying to make the playoffs.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's tough, which is why I said this was huge because there's no wiggle room. At least 5-3 is a bare minimum you need.
All right. Up next, do you want to go back to Larry Scott? Do you get the gist?
I think we got the gist, unless you want to hear.
I mean, we've got more. I've got David Shaw audio.
I like David Shaw.
You want to hear what he says?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Pac-12 schedule is out. Blazers win. It is 4-14 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, Blazers have won. They are well on their way to winning the NBA title. I will say this about the social statements on the jerseys. It's nice. It's a great thing, right?
Yeah.
But when you're watching teams like Memphis,
it can throw you for a loop.
Or other teams where you don't know who the players are.
Yep.
I think that they should. I saw Kerry Eggers say this on Twitter, and I think he's right. They should put the real name under the number.
Well, I think if you don't wear, I think this is what's happening. If you wear the social justice message, it's normal. But if you just have your name, I do think they're putting the name under the numbers.
Are they? Yeah, because Anthony Davis had that.
Anthony Davis had it. I think it was it Paul George, LeBron's. So I think that's what they're doing is if you've got your name, it's underneath the numbers. But if you got a social justice message, it's above. But it has happened to me at least 9 different times where I look up and I'm like, who the hell is Justice? Oh, it gets me. Yeah, I told you, Joakim Noah was shooting a free throw for the Clippers and it just showed him from the back. I'm like, who the hell is Justice? What? Huh? Oh. And it's going to take a little bit to get used to.
So Lillard wore how many more?
Yeah.
On the back of his.
CJ's got education reform. Zach had Black Lives Matter.
And Melo had peace.
Yeah. Kind of a cool thing that the Mavericks.
Nurkic had Nurkic.
Yeah, he had
was
Nurkic.
Was it up top or was it below?
It was up top.
It was top. Wow. It's very odd.
Okay. Well, I, at least with the Lakers and the Clippers, the ones that had their regular names were down below and everyone else was up top. The,
also, Gary Trent.
Yeah.
He had I am a man.
Oh, yeah. I wanted him to wear the number 40, though, because I think it would have been great if it was I am a man and then it was 40, a.k.a. Mike Gundy style.
What is the I am a man thing? What is that?
What are we doing there? Like you're a human.
You're not a race.
Gotcha.
The Mavericks are all wearing equality, but they've got it in like six different languages because it's such an international team.
Love that.
Which is kind of cool. Very cool. They're all going to wear equality, but you know, some of them will be wearing it in their native language.
Where are they actually playing? Do you know?
What do you mean?
Well, like, is that in, because I saw some of the
Disney Wide World of Sports.
Well, I understand. I know that. I know where the bubble is. I'm just saying I saw some early pictures when they were setting everything up of the courts. And they were in like conference rooms, hotel conference rooms.
Yeah.
So when they set these games up, are those actually in an arena? Because they don't show you any seats or anything. They'd CGI all that out and put graphics up. Are they actually playing in a conference room or are they playing in an arena?
I don't think it's necessarily an arena. I think from what I remember reading, the Wide World of Sports, it's they have a complex where if you've ever been to like, they have these set up. Like, I know the Hoop was one locally where it's a giant, think like airplane hangar, and then they have multiple courts inside one just kind of big gymnasium sort of thing. And they're using a couple of those to actually stage the games. So I don't think it's in a conference room.
I think there is one actual arena that they are using, but I do think there are courts in other places as well.
Yeah.
I just like to see it without. I just like him at the end of it to just peel it all away and see where they're playing.
Yeah, because you're right. Some of those, like when they were doing the tune-up games, it did appear like it was just in, like in a ballroom sort of thing. You went in and threw down some courts.
Okay, so the Pac-12 had one coach with them today in their webinar, and it was Stanford coach David Shaw. And they asked him how comfortable, perhaps Jesse, James, or Josh asked him.
Maybe all three at once. They Voltroned the question and got together for one super question.
How comfortable is he with padded practices?
We've been talking about this for 5 months. So I think we will have a plan based on what we're allowed to do, based on our local medical and governmental officials. So we'll find a way to make it work. There are things we can do now that we couldn't do 2 weeks ago. And hopefully a couple weeks from now, there'll be things that we can do that we can't do now. So, as many have said on this, we're being flexible and open, to the process of what we're allowed to do. Our players understand that now. We're giving them whatever bits of information we can when we have them for those guys. We'll do what we're allowed to do, until we can do something more.
Okay. Thank you, David.
That's a very a politician sort of answer. Yeah,
he's good at that.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know.
Why do you think he was on the call?
Yeah. Let's give us some David Shaw. Hey, David.
Putting Mike Leach out there.
We need you to kill about 45 seconds. Well, that'd be awkward since he's at Mississippi State. We're going to kill about 45 seconds to a minute here, but please don't say anything. But he is right in the sense that no one knows. Like, especially in California and in Arizona right now, even in Oregon, right? Like, there's real challenges to even getting on the practice field right now. Some of the places you can't even have a ball out there right now, right? Some of the limitations, you can't be throwing to other people because you can't have the ball being passed from person to person. So you can't take a snap, you can't throw it. So right now you're still just trying to get in basic conditioning workouts. I mean, there's so many challenges here, and you just hope that you get it figured out. But the challenging thing here is, you know, you've got a handful of different states and you got 12 different programs and everyone's dealing with their own kind of regulations here. Because not only are you dealing with what the Pac-12 needs, but you're dealing with states. And in some cases, you're dealing county to county and what you're dealing with. So there's real challenges here.
Okay, Dr. Doug Ackerman was there.
Okay.
And he is Oregon State sports medicine guy. Mm-hmm. And he talked about plans for getting kids safely back to campus.
We have all agreed upon a standard protocol for bringing student athletes onto campus, and it includes a period of self-quarantine and then symptom reporting when the athletes come onto campus. And then we're all doing a surveillance PCR test when they come to campus prior to clearing them to get released into doing physical activity. So that is standardized across our institutions and was a part of the policy that the medical advisory and COVID advisory group developed. One of the real benefits to college athletics is that our medical teams, our athletic trainers, our strength and condition coaches, and our team physicians have really good interaction and timely interaction with our student athletes. When somebody tests positive, especially if we are the ones ordering the test, we're going to be notified, you know, at the same time, if not sooner than the health department gets notified, and we can then promptly begin the isolation and contact tracing discussions. Every single one of our institutions is a little bit different. I mean, ultimately the public health department is required to do the contact tracing, but we certainly can make their job a lot easier and a lot more timely. And we are all doing that across our schools.
All right.
Look,
there you go.
If you, the bottom line here is that if you get outbreaks, look, they're going to spread. I mean, we've already seen this in the ramp up to the season, and you just see it with conditioning, and you haven't even started hitting anyone. You're not spending, you know, all your time in the locker room. You've yet to get the 100 kids all together at once, and already you've seen this. So the only way that this works is that if you're able to somehow keep COVID out of just out of the locker room, because if it hits and it spreads, especially with an asymptomatic carrier that is spreading it, by the time you get done testing for this, you're going to be in some trouble. So you just got to cross your fingers and hope that in the ramp up that you can manage to clear this out and that you can manage to keep kids safe. Then you get into the bigger challenge, I think, is that even if you get through camp, right, and you're able to start the season and kids start coming back on campus, or you just go start the season and these athletes are kind of going about their day-to-day lives, how then do you keep it out? I mean, you're up against it. You are facing serious challenges here, and I would make the argument that the second part of that is going to be the tougher one, that if you do get kids back on campus or you get a couple weeks into this, again, much like the boredom thing in the NBA in the bubble, and the guys are eventually going to go out and kind of do what they want to do, these college kids are not in bubbles. They are going to be college kids out on college campuses, and they're going to be out and about and in the community, and I think that is the biggest challenge. How do you combat that? And Larry Scott even said it in his earlier statement, we can't bubble this. It's not appropriate. They're not professional athletes, and without the bubble, I don't know how you convince enough of these kids to avoid social situations.
Well, I hope that most campuses bars are shut down, if not all. Yeah. I mean, they are right now, I think in a lot of areas.
A lot of places, but what we've seen in LSU, what we saw in Rutgers, what we saw at USC was it wasn't the bars, it was the frats. So, you know, it was just going to parties.
Okay, well, college kid's going to college kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's going
to
happen.
Well, they saw, and it's,
we'll see.
It's somewhat related to this, but it's being bounced around right now. Just as a cautionary tale that, again, just like kind of large gatherings, there was a YMCA camp down in Georgia, and there was 597 campers, staffers, and counselors. And they went ahead and held this anyways. And again, they tried to do, it was outdoors, and they tried to do the social distancing and whatnot. 44% of the camper staffers all came down with it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So a couple hundred.
Couple hundred.
What'd you say, like 500 some?
597.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And they tested them, 44%. And the kids age 6 to 10, which weren't supposed to, you know, that we keep hearing that those kids aren't, you know, aren't real dangers of spreading or contracting it. They were at 51%. So,
wow.
I mean, it just goes to show you that just the large groups you're going to struggle with. And remember, colleges and football teams are large groups in close quarters. It's going to be a real challenge.
Here comes the proverbial we'll see. By the way, Oregon State's done a great job just mentioning that Dr. Aukerman that we played the clip of.
Yep.
7 weeks of testing they have had at Oregon State. They've only had 3 athletes from 15 sports test positive.
Yeah.
Over 7 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a phenomenal.
And even Aukerman said, you know, we've been a little lucky.
Sure. And then what you may be hoping here is that some of the hypocrisy ends up being a good thing, Because remember, we were told that if you can't have students back on campus, you can't play. We know that that's gone out the window. Teams are like, no. It may actually be beneficial if there's less kids on campus. Less kids on campus, you know, maybe less chances of getting in large groups or frat parties and this sort of thing. Which,
that makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed that that may end up being a good thing as far as keeping college football teams on the field.
By the way, Nurkic, so I was reading Jason Quick's tweets because they're in interview periods after the Blazers game.
Yeah.
And Nurkic said his grandmother has COVID. And he says, wear the damn mask.
Yeah.
That's his quote.
Listen to the beast then. How about that?
He had a great game. Blazers win. Pac-12 schedule is out. But we move to in the news coming up next. All the latest, including, well, I have your COVID numbers. Okay.
Yes.
Ready for your COVID numbers?
I am.
Your daily COVID numbers?
I am ready.
We also have, one Oregon county must go back to a stay-at-home order.
Yeah, they're getting shut down again.
Is it your county? Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Very busy sports day. If you're just tuning in to your sports talk for today, Blazers won. Pac-12 has, and it was an exciting game in overtime. The Pac-12 has released its schedule, so we have a 10-game conference-only slate for the Ducks and Beavers and Cougs and Huskies laid out. And so we'll get back to all that. We have more audio, too.
Yes.
Sports audio. Oh, and I have a snake update.
Oh, yeah.
A building snake update.
I'm surprised you're even here at this point.
I am, too.
I would have thought you'd be gone.
You all are lucky. But right now, it is July 31, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Avocado Day.
The only thing, well, I don't mind the avocado. I mean, guacamole is delightful. I'll put guac on anything, but the avocado itself, like, I'm not a big, like, I'm not slicing the avocado and putting it on anything. I'm a guac man or nothing.
I like sliced avocado, but I will say it loses points for slipperiness.
Yeah. Well, and it's just
always very slippery.
I find that it's
you gotta like spread it.
Well, and it's too much, right? Like, you just like, I don't need a big hunk. I'm with you. It needs to be mushed and spread.
Yeah.
Hence the guacamole. What is that, guacamole? I love that stuff.
There's also National Talk in an Elevator Day. So if you're riding in an elevator today, you must talk.
I don't think you're supposed to. In fact, I was in an elevator today and the sign said one person max. You weren't allowed to have anyone else in the elevator.
Wow, where was that?
Just in an office building.
Oh, I've seen that all over the place, yeah.
Yeah. Social distancing elevator riding?
Yeah, big sign.
That's nice.
Big sign. One person max.
Well, I will say,
I mean, it's a small office building. It's only like one floor up, but
it is. It is odd. You know, we were in a hotel in Kansas, and there were some people there that, you know, people don't know what they, the door opens, you know, and you're on there. Or you're waiting and they're in there. And sometimes people don't really know whether they should get on or not.
Sure.
Like, there, a lot of people were like, ah, I'll wait for the next one. Or, but everybody was masked up. You know, they had a, it was masks required. But I didn't have any problem with it.
I have
as long
as
they were masked.
Like, even in stores, like, you're trying to go, like, to one area, but there's someone's already there and there's this weird, like, dance where you're like, ah.
I have to walk way around you.
Yeah.
I'm not just around you. I'm going to walk way around you out of respect for you.
Just trying to get right there. Can I just weasel in? It's
there are rules.
Yeah, there's
COVID
there's,
rules.
We're all trying to do our best here to respect other people's space.
Okay, here are your new daily COVID numbers. 373 new cases in Oregon, 6 new deaths.
Not good.
That's
not the direction we want to go.
That is increasingly steady, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it's been that way for 3 weeks.
For a while there, we were getting down where we were getting into the hundreds, and that was good, and no deaths, but I feel like we're getting up into the threes on a regular basis.
Up in Clark County, you had 22 new cases, 1 new death. They have had 146 cases this week. Now, the big COVID news here in Oregon is that there has been a stay-at-home order reinstated for one county, and that county is Umatilla.
Something tells me they're not going to take that very well.
And if you're wondering about where Umatilla is, that is the county that houses Pendleton, Milton Freewater, You ever been up there?
Rural. No, I've been to the Pendleton Roundup. I think that might be the only time I've ever head out to Umatilla County.
Well, Pendleton to me is a lot like my hometown of Salina, Kansas, in that people really only know it because you drive through it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever driven out to Eastern Oregon, you just drive through Pendleton.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the only, outside of going to
the rodeo.
Outside of going to the rodeo,
they have a casino.
Where else are you going there? You ever been to Pilot Rock?
No.
Hermiston?
Yes. No. Oh, big Hermiston news?
Yeah.
In Hermiston, they are saying that, and this is an estimate, so this is not a set number, but it's an estimate by Oregon State University that 17% of the town of Hermiston has COVID.
Good Lord.
So there are 18,000 people there. Oregon State estimates that about 3,000 people have it because what they're doing is they're looking at the total numbers and they're extrapolating that out because they obviously believe that more people have COVID than have reported.
Yeah.
So, or that asymptomatic, so they don't even know it. So they think that 3,000 out of 18,000 people in Hermiston have the Clovis.
That's not good. They've got Cloverfield 19. What? How
about that?
That big monster thing? It's a good movie.
So the stay-at-home order has been reinstated for Umatilla County. Now, you may ask why. Well, also Morrow County, which is to Umatilla's west, they have to go backwards. They have to bump back to phase one of reopening. So the reasons are both counties have cumulative case counts of over 2 per 100 people, which that's kind of the magic number. Their positive test rate is 23% in Umatilla County, and it's 30% in Morrow County, and that is 5 to 6 times the state average. And then 50% of the cases in the past week could not be traced. So for those three reasons,
we've stayed at home and we've rolled back.
Yeah, Umatilla is now staying at home.
Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that this is not going to sit well with the fine folks of Umatilla County. You know, the rural people that live out there, they like being told what to do. And something tells me we're going to get some violations of the stay-at-home and the business closed
orders. That's where the church thing happened, right?
Yeah.
No.
I thought that was.
No, that was out in, that was way out east.
Is that Banks or Burns?
I think it was further east. That's all I can tell you. I forget the name of the county, but... anyway, yeah, the other way to look at it is, hey, what if, because I'm a positive guy, JC yeah, babes.
Let's be positive.
What if?
Let's be great.
They stay at home, yeah. And all of a sudden, in a month, Umatilla County's got no cases. Well, and then we're like, oh, well, why don't we just all stay at home?
I'm just saying, I understand your...
You know what I mean? You're just going to take a crap all over my optimism.
I'm not. I'm just guessing.
Yes, you are.
All I'm saying is I'm guessing.
Negative Nancy.
It's an educated guess.
Tired of you.
That the fine country living folks of Umatilla and what was the other county?
Morrow
County. Something tells me they're not going to take this. They're not going to take this sitting down.
Well, can I give you one anecdote that may or may not be accurate, but... Yeah. Kansas is very rural.
Yes.
Kansas is very conservative.
Yes.
Although they do have a Democratic governor, which is wild.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
And I got to the bottom of why. Mm-hmm. And the reason is the other guy was so bad that they elected.
It just swung.
They're like, fine. Just swung. Fine. Anybody. So anyway, they're very conservative, and it is very, you live in a bubble out there. Like all the TVs are on Fox News. Everybody thinks the same way. Generally, and it's really hard to get any other points of view out there. So you could draw a parallel between Umatilla County, what you're saying,
sure,
and the fine folks of Kansas. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, having been out there for 10, 11 days, they're taking it pretty seriously.
Are they?
Like, I mean, yes. And I know they're, and I think it's begrudgingly, but a lot of the gathering places were closed down, and people were masking up, man. So, you know, maybe all the folks out of Umatilla County will take it seriously. I mean, at this point, I don't know how you couldn't, but...
Oh, I know how you couldn't, so...
See, again, look at you. Just negative. You're so negative.
All I said was an educated guess. You said you don't know how you can't take it seriously. And I said,
the people of Pendleton are fine people. They understand what is happening and they will mask up and stay at home. Okay. A dead body has washed ashore on the Oregon coast between Devil's Punch Bowl and Otter Rock. They are asking for help IDing this woman. And here is the far too descriptive description. Okay, this is a dead woman.
Well, but if you are asking for help in identifying her, I do feel like a accurate description is probably important.
Yeah, my thing with this is they don't often do this where they need help identifying. Can't they identify her by her dental records?
Again,
and like,
here's the thing, though.
Kind of thing.
Boy, now this is going to get...
You going to poop on this, too?
No. If you've been in the water for a while...
Yeah.
It can be...
Yeah. Well, obviously, they need help.
Yeah.
I just assumed that they could ID, or maybe they couldn't. Yeah. Here is the description.
A lot of times on like Law & Order, when the body washes up, you're like, oh, it's Ted or it's Jan. And the reality is, if you've been in the water for a while, you wash up and you're like, what the hell is that?
Right. So I'm going to provide you a visual. Police describe the victim as a white woman with blonde, mid-length hair and blue eyes. They say she is between 40 and 50 years old. She was reportedly wearing black yoga pants with a Wilson Lacrosse logo on the hip, a white t-shirt with a Skyhawks Sports Academy logo, along with gray and orange Nike shoesies.
Ooh, by the way, I've got breaking news. They got her. They've identified her.
Well, you would hope.
No, like they know who she is now. We don't need...
Well, you would hope.
Yeah.
They told us everything about her. What's her name?
Her name is Annette Fagan, and she was 58 years old.
Rest in peace, Annette Fagan. By the way, they were totally wrong. They said between 40 and 50 years old.
Yeah. So they say they don't know how long she was in the water. They put out a call Friday morning asking for help. Oregon State Police are not commenting on whether foul play was suspected or whether Fagan had previously been reported missing. So we don't know anything other than she has been identified.
Now, when a body washes up on, from the ocean,
yeah,
as opposed to, say, the rivers here or, like a lake or something.
Yeah, because this time of the year, unfortunately, it happens a lot in the rivers and lakes because people go out and you have a few drinks. And
don't you, when it happens in the ocean, doesn't your mind go to, the ocean got her?
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
It's a bad bitch out there.
The ocean is a scary, scary place.
But then when you see bodies like in the Willamette, you think murder.
Ooh.
Or at least I do.
That's interesting.
Murder or suicide.
That is interesting. Because this time, normally I would say yes, but this time of the year, I go to you were partying. Like you were...
Oh.
Yeah. That's
slipped.
That's where I go. Well, yeah, too much...
Fell.
You were drinking. You know... That's where mine goes, is that you were out having a good time. The water was colder than you thought.
But do you...
And you go under.
Point being, do you ever suspect foul play when it's the ocean?
I only suspect foul play when there's a boat involved. When the boat's involved, then
when someone's
like,
missing off a boat.
Yeah,
yes.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, you killed that person. That's why I've always said, like, if you are in a bad relationship, you know it's a bad relationship, and there's problems... Never go out on a boat with the other person, ever.
Yeah.
Because I assume that that's just like, we're just going to go out and then I don't know what happened to her, officer. Whoops, she slipped and fell over. I was taking a nap. And yeah, I always suspect foul play when a boat's involved.
All right. How did the protests go last night? We'll check in on that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We'll tell you how the Blazers did. The Pac-12 schedule is out. A couple of other notes for in the news before we get there, though. A shocker last night in downtown Portland as the protesters, they were out there again.
Yeah.
63rd? Fifth?
Something. We're in the 60s.
Fourth night?
It's like our COVID cast. Does it really matter at this point? It's a lot.
By the way, how many COVID casts did we end up doing?
92? Yeah, something like that.
Man. Protests remain calm.
Yeah.
With no state or federal police in sight.
Yeah, it's because
how about that?
Well, Thunderwolf said that he wanted to see if they could get it under control, and then if they can
on their own,
on their then they're going to bring in some like state police. But I think that's the thing is Thunderwolf said, give you a couple days, figure it out, and if so, then they can start like a withdrawal process. So fingers crossed that if it keeps going this way, then you know that can happen.
That's great.
Yeah. So we didn't have any tear gas last night?
No. Nothing.
Is that the first time, like, in a good solid month that we haven't had the tear gas?
I can't say yes or no.
I feel like
I've not been down there.
I feel like the tear gas is that's a go-to. I feel like that's become a standard. Hey, you going down to Portland tonight? You gonna get tear gas? Yeah, all right.
What would I have to pay you to send you down there to cover it for the fan?
Oh, that's not really my bag.
You know, you are a salaried employee.
That's true. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna stay right where I'm at. I'm good. Like, I gotta be in the mix, or can I just be like on the outskirts of it?
You know, you just need to get us a nice report of what's going on. People want to know what's going on down there.
I do it once, although you know, some of the journalists were getting pegged with stuff. I'm good.
Did you see they were talking about? They were talking about like jersey numbers for the Fed guys, and then special like special things for media to wear so that they don't confuse.
like a red jersey for quarterbacks?
Yeah, they were but they were talking about numbers, like for like I got shot by number 40.
Wow,
he brought his A game. And
can I still get 68? Can I strap on my old uniform and go out there?
That way you can identify him, you know.
Give
him numbers.
If work made me do it, I might do it once, but I'll tell you what, the coverage you're going to get from me is not going to be very good. You're going to get me about 6 blocks from the action. You know, you get one of those like, hey, I hear the crowd behind me. Jason, we can't see it. Well, trust me, it's back there somewhere. I'm social distancing at this point.
Who would have the worst report of the protests from all of the fan reporters?
Oh, I think I'm going to be pretty high up on that list. I'm not.
I'm going to be tough to beat, though. Do you know why?
I don't think you're not going to be there.
Because I won't be.
Yeah, you're not going to be there.
Hey, Rob, you're covering the protests. No, I'm not.
Can I cover the protests from my back deck?
We're going to you live at 6:45. No, you're not. And if you do, it will be dead air.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't need to be down there. I don't need to be covering anything.
Who's our best reporter?
Swag, I feel like, would get in the mix.
Yeah,
he would take it seriously. And
although part of me thinks Swigard's down there protesting already.
Oh, I Swag doesn't strike me as a protester.
Yeah, I think you are.
Is that wrong?
Largely miscalculating on that one.
Yeah. Who's most likely to be the fan personality that is protesting?
Well, this is going to be weird because I don't know if which... I'm just going to... Never mind. I'm just going to stop.
Why? What's the matter with you?
I'm just going to stop. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm not...
What?
I don't know.
I'm missing something, but oh well. All right. I'll let it go. I'll let it go this time. But I want to know during the break what the hell you're talking about.
I'm not here to say anyone would be down there doing anything.
Okay. Well, that's in the news. We're done.
I could see Dusty down there.
A very odd ending. I could too. Dads for...
Yeah, I could see his mom.
Dads for peace.
Well, I could see his wife out there, you know. I could see her teacher. And his name's Dusty.
Well, she could be a part of the moms for... Yeah. What is it?
The moms in yellow.
I don't think that's what they were called.
The
Wall of Moms. Yeah, the Wall of Moms.
Does Crawford count? Because I think Crawford is out in L.A. protesting.
Oh, yeah, no, he would win landslide. Did I see this while I was away, that the dads were down there with leaf blowers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, the moms, the dads, and then the vets. Yeah, and they're all color coordinated.
I love it. I really do.
I think the dads were in orange. I don't have a lot of orange, so that's...
And they had leaf blowers.
Yeah, well, you got to blow the tear gas.
That's genius.
Got to blow it back.
Okay.
I do have a leaf blower, but mine you have to plug in, so I'm going to need a hell of an extension cord, and then you could do away with me simply by unplugging my leaf blower.
That is in the news, July 31. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll tell you how the Blazers did, and the Pac-12 schedule is out next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.